Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillo, Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys with us, 215-592-9494. By the way, tomorrow, Hugh and I are going to be down in D.C. tomorrow for the show.
Yes.
Army-Navy. Hey. We were up in Boston last year for our show from the Army-Navy game. We're going to have some big guests on tomorrow, including a running back who had a lot of success in the NFL. We'll get his thoughts on backs for Barkley. So we're going to have some fun tomorrow at Army-Navy with our usual Football Friday show. Today's show, of course, is brought to you by our friends over at Klondike-Cates and their Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike-Cates. All right, before we get back to the phones here on the Eagles and now what they should do with this offense, should they focus more on AJ or just kind of let it breathe, do the same thing they've been doing after a week of a lot of drama, but obviously people feeling better today. One clip of Jalen yesterday that hasn't got as much play, I just thought it was interesting listening to how he framed his game himself and just listen to how he talks about himself here in the third person. Here's Jalen yesterday.
You know, I've submitted myself to whatever it takes to win. And so, you know, you look at the course of the years and we've had, different conversations for who the most valuable player is and the recognition and whatever. And it's all about the team at the end of the day. But you see different areas, you know, shining in different years. And so it's about the team. You know, I don't care how it looks. It's kind of my game. And, I think that's something that people have to accept that, you know, it's going to look how Jalen Hurts wants it to look, you know, but he's going to win.
I heard that. Clifford Franklin. Clifford Franklin come up with it. Clifford Franklin only one that coming down with it. He's talking to himself in the third person. That's awesome.
So I actually thought it was interesting. So the third person is what caught our attention here with that one.
Yeah.
I actually wondered if that was more of the what his mentality is and maybe what AJ needs to make his mentality. And what I mean by that is the way he referenced it, like we've had different kinds of teams, different kinds of years, right? Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, the Eagles were in a similar position they are now. Who was getting all the shine? Jalen. He was the MVP candidate that year. He, at one point, was the favorite to win the MVP. He's not getting that anymore. It's about Saquon now. And the way I viewed that was, that's the way we all need to be. It's a team. We need to, whoever cares, who gets the credit.
That's a great point. That's a great point to make, because, and you talk about early in the year last year, AJ was getting all the shine.
Right. When you have this many good players, it almost like they take turns.
You got to wait your turn. Yeah. I mean, I get that. And when you put it in that perspective, that's what it kind of sounds like. And AJ probably needs to understand that. But still, in order for us to get to where we want to be, and I think AJ knows this, we got to throw the ball a lot more. We got to throw the ball better. I shouldn't say a lot more, better than we've been throwing it in the past.
I just wonder if maybe at some point the messaging was missed. Like, it seemed like Sirianni did a really good job of talking what hurts, and they got on the same page at the bye, that we're going to more of a run-based offense, right? So, like, you got to get on board. You got to do the best you can. This is the way it's best for us to win this year. I just wonder if AJ understood this was possible. Like, if they go to less of a passing game, Jalen's going to have days where he doesn't find you as much. Like, you got to be okay with it. I mean, I understand AJ's perspective of we need to be better at this to win the Super Bowl, but I just wonder if he recognizes, like, this is the team this year. This is, like, I don't think this is changing. Now, I think they need to get more efficient, to use your word, to go win the Super Bowl, but I don't know. Do you guys expect this to change between now and February? I think maybe next year it changes, second year in Kellen Moore's offense, but I don't know.
Be more efficient?
No, but, well, both. Be more efficient and throw some more. I don't know if this is changing between now and February.
I would say be more efficient than, as opposed to throw some more, because I feel like if we're talking about throwing some more, maybe 20 to 25 throws. I think that's right in his wheelhouse, because you look at the year that they went to the Super Bowl. That was about where he was, you know, as far as his completions were. Well, his attempts were, I should say.
So the difference, though, 2 years ago, they threw early and jumped on teams. And then they throttled it down because they were winning by so much. Like, yes, the numbers equal the same thing. It just was different. Like, Kyle, 2 years ago, they came out throwing the football. Jalen would have big first quarters, big second quarters. And then the second half, yes, they'd only run the ball because they were up 17 points. They just, like, his numbers, attempts look similar, but it just was different.
Well, yeah. I mean, you even saw at the beginning of this year, they came out trying to be a passing team. And it didn't work. I mean, Jalen Hurts is turning the ball over left and right. And they finally realized that the bread was buttered by handing the ball to Saquon and taking the ball out of Jalen Hurts' hands. I mean, the lineman, without saying the Jalen Hurts part, said as much by telling us that they went into Nick Sirianni's office and said, we have to run the football.
And I don't think that they will stop doing that.
Of course not.
This is what they are. So
they,
like,
shouldn't.
The more this week goes on, the more I think, yes, they have to get better at it. But I don't think it's changing much this year. And I think of all the people involved this week, the one that has to accept it the most is AJ.
Yeah. Well, because at a certain point, you say 13 games in, do you expect it to change for the better? Like, as drastically as it needs to, I should say.
No, and as time goes on, they're only going to see better defenses starting this Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's go to the phone lines here. Brian is up on WIP. Hey, Brian. Brian, going once.
Brian.
Ryan's back on hold. That's all right. Let's go to Harley, who's up on WIP. Hey, Harley.
What's going on, fellas? How you doing today?
Hey, Harley. What's up, pal?
Hey, I just want to make a couple quick points real fast, and then I actually have a question for Hugh at the end here. One thing real quick, I AJ's big point is necessarily his personal targets. I think he's just kind of speaking as like a collective with how much they're throwing the ball. Like, Jalen's just got to be exactly what you said, more efficient, or they're not going to get to where they're going to go, or where they want to go, rather, if we keep playing this way in the passing game. I don't think it's necessarily AJ saying, give me the ball, give me the ball. I think he's just saying, hey, with the opportunities that we have to throw the ball, like, we got to do a better job with it, especially not missing wide open players.
Yeah, well, Harley, he also said, this is back to Sunday, because, you know, he spoke a lot yesterday. He also said it's very difficult to get in a rhythm when you throw as little as they do. So I also think that they want to throw it more. But that's not, I don't think that's in the cards this season.
Well, I think it's because I think we've kind of talked about it for a while. I think they realize that their winning formula is not Jalen throwing the ball 35 times a game. One other quick point I wanted to make is, if you watch, like McVay and the Rams, or like Zach Taylor with the Bengals, or some of these other coordinators or head coach, like, they make it a point. If you watch the Rams, like, they come out and throw a screen to Puka Nacua almost every game in the first couple of plays. Like, they make it a point to, like, hey, even if it's something fast and quick, a hitch, whatever it is, just get the ball in their hands. That way they feel like they're part of the game. Even if you run the ball the rest of the drive, just at least get it in their hands, let them get a feel for it. I don't understand. I've never seen us do that for A.J. Brown.
It's those quick completions. It's those.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Get the quarterback comfortable as well. You know, give him a quick completion.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Just get it out to him real fast. My question for Hugh is actually, if you're like Mike Tomlin and you're or a defensive coordinator right now, and you're hearing all this stuff about A.J. Brown, are you making it a point in your defensive meeting room to be like, listen, if we can frustrate this guy, I mean, obviously they're already going to throw everything at him to try to stop him because of the player he is, but are you making it a point to be like, hey, if we frustrate this guy, we can kind of get him unraveling on the sideline? Like, is that the conversation that you guys would have in a
meeting room? The biggest conversation I would have is trying to stop Saquon Barkley. I mean, that would be the first thing. I mean, A.J. is secondary because he doesn't factor big into what they're doing right now. Now, I would be conscious of, as a defensive coordinator, to think that maybe there's an opportunity or a chance that they might try to get him a little bit more involved. But no, for the most part, I'm trying to stop the run game.
Okay, so you guys would never have, like Odell, back when he was with the Giants, you see him, like, flip it out on the sidelines. Like, you guys don't ever have a conversation of, like, hey, we know if this guy doesn't get the ball or doesn't get involved, like, he could be unraveling on the sidelines and, like, cause a distraction. Like, that's never a point of emphasis or anything
I think the point of emphasis is if you're stopping the run and they're not able to throw the ball, I mean, you're kind of accomplishing what you're talking about.
That is true.
You see what I'm saying?
It's a different way to slice the same cake. Harley, good phone call. I am curious. Kyle brought this up earlier because they're doing the Amazon Hard Knocks on the AFC North, right? Mm-hmm. So the second half of the season is all, like, the cameras are there. I mean, they're following all four teams in the division throughout the end of the season. I think next week we're going to get something from the Steelers locker room this week, from their meetings, or, you know, whatever they're...
You mean when they're talking about the Eagles and how dramified they are?
Or maybe just how to stop the Eagles. I mean, I think something we'll be able to watch it next week and see. Remember the clip a couple years ago, Hugh, he can't read about Jalen?
Yeah, he can't read defenses.
The Bucs were saying on the sideline.
Yeah.
Right? I wouldn't be surprised this week if there's a coaching point in the Steelers meeting room that gets on camera and gets on a Hard Knocks where make him hold the ball. He'll bail to his right. He'll bail the pocket. Like, the stuff that we talk about every week, I'm sure whether it be just Tomlin or his assistants, are hammering into their heads.
You know, if we get that, I want an apology from everybody.
You're not going to get that. No one apologizes around here.
Of course not.
I mean, we try to set the precedent in the last baseball season, and
I'll still demand one, though.
Yeah, I mean, you could do that, but I don't know if it's going to work. You want an apology for what? For talking about the passing game and Jalen's issues?
No, for telling me that everything's good. Oh, Jalen's fine. He's been great this year, not turning the ball over.
Statistics. All about those statistics. Too much analytics. I mean, throw those computers out.
Passer rating.
Let's go to Ethan in Doylestown. And Hugh, I think you remember Ethan in the past. Ethan is the caller that I think sounds a lot like Howie Roseman.
Yes.
100%, man.
To the point where, back in the day, many people thought Howie called me at night. What's up, Ethan?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Ethan, what's going on, buddy?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, sorry for not calling in a bit. You know, life stuff. But anyways.
Yeah, you got a team on a 9-game winning streak. I get it, Howie.
Busy GM.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to talk about my counterpart, Howie. I'm just tired of this whole thing with Howie, where we get one good season. We got one good season from Carson in 2017, and we got a good season from Hurts from 2022. And then we just immediately give them a big contract. Like, I get they want to try and get ahead of, like, the quarterback market, so they don't have to pay as much. But can Howie, like, hold off for more than a season, one good season, before we have this extension? Because I'm like tired of having these conversations of, like, after we get these contracts, we still have to have conversations about if this quarterback is the guy and all that.
Yeah, Ethan, I think it's interesting. I think at some point, like, the next guy, right, whenever Jalen's done, whether it's soon or 5 years from now, 6 years from now, the next time they have a young quarterback that shows a flash, I wouldn't be surprised if they correct the other way and wait.
That's not going to happen.
Why?
Because it all depends on if the way quarterbacks are viewed changes. Because I feel like that's just the nature of the beast. If you have one that looks like or flashes to see, looks like he's going to be a player, you try to hurry up and sign him. Because you know what's funny? Think about it like this. Bryce Young's in his third season, right?
Second
season? Hey, look how long time it flies. But there's going to be, if he stays on this trajectory, there's going to be a conversation had about whether or not you sign him or let him go.
Sure.
And if he shows you enough that there's some improvement there, they're probably going to end up signing him.
So you're probably right. Ethan, I think it's an interesting point. I think it might correct itself the other way. Where
same
next
thing
time,
with Trevor Lawrence.
But now these teams regret that.
No, I mean, they do, but this is the truism or the thought process, I should say, in the NFL, in today's NFL, is that the quarterback is the position that makes every team go. That's why when Trevor Lawrence got that money this offseason, when you look at the other quarterbacks that got paid before him, his numbers paled in comparison to theirs.
I know. His numbers, he's like Daniel Jones with long hair.
They paid. Another example, Daniel Jones.
Stinks.
They paid him because we're so afraid that if we don't pay him, and that's just the way the money's going, that if you don't pay him, somebody else will, and you're going to miss out.
Ethan, good phone call, buddy. Good luck the rest of the season, all right?
All right.
There he goes.
Here's hoping.
Yep, all right, there he goes. Ethan in Doylestown, who sounds very much
eerie,
like...
eerily
and
similar.
You notice what he did there. He threw everyone off the scent by criticizing Howie, so no one could imagine that's actually Howie calling our show. I think when you do that...
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
You did just kind of blow up a spot right there, though.
That's okay. I mean, no one believes me on this, but I know deep down who that is. Josh in Wilmington. What's up, Josh?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How we doing?
Hey,
what's
Josh.
Up, man? Oh, man. So, listen, Hugh, earlier, it cracked me up. The quote of the day is, that math ain't mathin', dog. I mean, I spit water all over my keyboard. So, why are we going to try and rework something that isn't broken? You know, I mean, I get, we've all watched and witnessed diva wide receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with a couple callers, at least two or three callers prior, says, you know, hey, man, let's get the ball into AJ's hands early. Well, listen, if the Steelers are, you know, if their coordinators are smart, they're going to know that that's coming right out the gate, right? So, listen, it's a bright light situation. And, you know, these two have a tendency to show up in those type of big games, right? Now you add the element of Saquon. Well, listen, they're going to get a dose of both. And, I mean, I got to get on board with Kelsey kind of this morning, this galvanizing the team a bit. I mean, I see it possibly turning into something that, you know, sparks the run, for lack of a better term. I mean, that's just kind of the way I'm seeing it. I mean, I think AJ's probably, you know, I jumped off the couch several times last weekend going, holy moly. And then there was an opportunity, Jalen, he had protection. Saquon hangs. This was, I think, late in the second quarter. And then he bails on the wheel route, and he's wide open. I mean, wide open, running free down the sideline, and Jalen goes to the other side of the field for like 2 yards. And I'm going, what in the hell? Why would he not just dump the ball off to Saquon with, you know, the greenest pasture you'd ever want to run through in front of him? So, I mean, he's missing on not just A.J. Brown, but on other things. I think right now, man, we just cut it loose and feed Saquon. I mean, ultimately, it's not broken, but we're going to see a bit different offense. And I'll give you an example of what I witnessed on Monday night. I know I'm cooking here, guys. Thanks. Mm-hmm. But listen, Monday night, and this is something that I would love to see, right? And these guys have been playing with one another long enough. Devontae and A.J. Brown, right? You got – there was 5 minutes and 15 seconds left in the first quarter. Joe Burrow's got the ball, and they're starting to get a drive going, and they're at third – I think it was third and 13. Dude, I knew exactly where that ball was going even before the snap was taken, right? And he just throws the ball to a spot. Here goes Ja'Marr Chase, who's an absolute, you know, mathematician in a route. Comes back on the dig right at the sideline. As soon as he gets to where he needs to be at 13 yards, the ball is in his hands. And he wasn't looking at Joe Burrow, and Joe Burrow wasn't looking at him. Joe Burrow just threw it to where he knew he would be. I mean, are we at the point where he can't even do that? That's the trust that we need, especially where we're headed.
Yeah, it's throwing someone open.
Go.
Yeah, throwing him open, throwing with anticipation. That is the area, and Josh, we appreciate it. That's the area
he needs to improve.
Yeah, I mean, I think we referenced this from about a month ago. Greg Cosell, who watches film for a living, he said that Jalen's the kind of quarterback where he wants to see it before he throws it, right? Instead of throwing it.
He doesn't throw with anticipation.
Right, and that. It's not impossible to win that way. Obviously, Jalen's won a lot of football games that way. It just makes it – I just feel like it makes it more challenging.
Yeah, because, you know, I would talk about Dan Marino. Dan Marino used to throw guys – he used to throw to a spot. And if a dude wasn't in the spot that he was throwing to and they missed it, they got cursed out accordingly. That's just how it was. What that rapport, that relationship has, that's what it brings, is the guys that, you know, they get open. They know what the quarterback is thinking in certain situations.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to get to that point.
I hear you. All right, let's go to Dave in Cherry Hill. What's up, Dave?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Dave. What's up?
So, quick question. Just wanted to, and I know a few people have talked about this, but Sunday, right? Do you guys think we do change the offense a little bit and pass more than we normally run and get away from our bread and butter?
I have a feeling they're going to do that, Dave. I don't want it, but I have a feeling that's going to happen.
Okay, so I guess piggybacking off of that, if you think that happens, do you think, and let's just say, for example, right, going into AJ's perspective, do you think that, let's say we come out, we throw for 300, maybe he gets 100 yards, touchdown, whatever. let's say he has a great game and we lose the game. Do you think that AJ then realizes that this is not it and we need to run the ball and that's our bread and butter?
It's an interesting question. I don't know if he'd be self-aware enough in the moment to think like, hey, we went the other way too far, because he might just feel like maybe we lost for a different reason. But, Dave, I think it'd be an interesting exercise, because it'd be so different than how they've won games this, for the last 2 months, and it'd be more appeasing to our eyes, Hugh. But the bottom line is, did they win?
I don't think they're going to do something in spite of. And to be fair, we've come out in the last couple of games trying to throw the ball, and then we went back to the run. It's always been the one thing we try to do primarily all the time is throw the football.
Right.
And then when we can't, that's when we kind of go to the running game. So I don't feel like it's going to be any different than it has been in the last couple of weeks. Mm. But the run is there. I mean, you'd be foolish to go in this game and say, hey, you know what, I'm going to lose this game or potentially lose this game in order to make AJ happy. I don't think that's going to happen.
Right, but I'm almost thinking like, if that does happen, it's almost like, I'm not going to say a blessing in disguise, but it puts things into perspective from there, or it should, right? Say like, we really need to run the ball and that's our bread and butter. And we tried it and it's like throwing, like that's just not what we do, right? Like that's not our strength. And I don't know. That's the way that I'm thinking about it is it, if we lose the game there and if that happens, does it put things into perspective from a player's perspective that like, running the ball is our bread and butter, and that's how we win.
And I don't think Coach Sirianni or any of those coaches with what's at stake, they're gonna put themselves in a position where it's gonna be a teaching moment.
Yeah, it's an interesting perspective, Dave. Good phone call. I do wonder the last couple games of the season if they use those as more tune-ups for the playoffs and try to do things they haven't done before.
It all depends on what's at stake.
Sure. Like this week, we're still a lot at stake. They still haven't clinched the division, right? Next mm-hmm. week, they could clinch it this week. They could clinch it against Washington next week. But after that, I mean, it'll be coming more into focus the last game or
certain
two.
Certain things you might want to work on.
Right. Like they could have something to play for. They could have a very little chance of the one seed. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously the Lions have a big game
this week. This ain't the teaching moment week. This ain't the moment to say, hey, we're going to throw the ball.
We'll do it your way,
lose,
AJ.
And I'm going to say, go back and say, see?
Told you so.
No, they ain't about to do that.
Is that not professional? I told you so.
That dog won't hunt.
I told you so, Douglas. Not professional. Archie Mount Airy. What's up, Archie?
Hey, what's going on, guys? The best show on WIP, the best trio, Kyle, Joe, and Hugh. Love you guys. Thank you.
Appreciate you, Archie. Yeah, Kyle is, but we appreciate you. What's up, Archie?
Absolutely. I want to keep the main thing real quick. AJ is the main issue, okay? And I wish people can really see that, but I'll just start here. I didn't like how he called in the station last year to quote-unquote clear the air. To me, he made that worse. He also took down a tweet last year. He claimed that it was, hat. That was another lie right there. He knew exactly what he's doing because he's no dummy. He knew exactly what he done when he said those one-word answers last week about passing, about, okay, me and Jalen are not, we don't communicate during the sideline. He knew exactly what he was doing. He reminds me of a person, of like a rotten child that if it does, if the attention is not on him, or if the, you know, if anything is not reflected on him, then he gets completely upset, and he will make some way, negatively or positively, make it about him and make it about the team. On the other end, I do think he's like a liaison. He's like, he is the person that everyone is coming to, like the rest of the receivers and the tight ends. I think they all have the same frustration as him. Nobody's perfect. Jalen is not perfect. I'm not saying that, guys. Okay, we do know he needs to pass the ball more. We definitely know that, okay? But we're winning. We're winning the way that we're supposed to win. Every year is completely different. Three different coordinators in 4 years. And AJ hasn't been on the field that much this year. He missed three games. Smitty missed a couple of games himself. So, I mean, let's keep it a buck here, okay? We have a different way of winning. But the problem, the deal is we're winning. We had two bad games this year. The two bad games that we had was the games that we lost. And the reason why? Because we lost those games. If you win, you have a great game. If you lose, you have a terrible game. And there's four games left in the season, okay? So everything is a progression. We're going to get there. And I hate when people say you can't win a Super Bowl running the ball. Who says that? I don't care what the stats say. We have a great offensive line. We have a great running back. We can run our way right to the Super Bowl and win against anybody. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. Let's keep the how we're running and how we're playing this offense. Let's do that. But AJ is the main problem here. He's been a problem for the last couple of years. And if Jalen leaves, another quarterback comes in, trust me, that problem will continue.
Well, that part, Archie, it's a good phone call. That part might be true. I mean, A.J. Brown is like many other great receivers. He's a diva. I mean, he's a diva. I mean, it's okay. He's not the only one, but I kind of forgot about some of those A.J. moments, the deleted tweets. He did know what he was doing on
Sunday.
Passive
aggressive.
He's got a lot.
Yeah.
But, passive aggressive.
You know.
But it doesn't mean he's wrong about the passing game right now.
Well, if he had a quarterback that could get him the ball. We can win a Super Bowl running the ball, but we also have to be able to throw.
Yeah, it's a tough sled. It's a little bit more tough sled with the way that we're doing it. It'd be a little bit easy if we got the pass.
How about some balance here? How can we work on that?
Balance? I'm okay with balance.
All right, 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard here. All right, on the other side, we have exclusive audio of unreleased Eagles Christmas album. We'll play that. That'll be fun. And the best quote of the day yesterday came not from Jalen Hurts and not from A.J. Brown. It actually came from Jordan Mailata. You hear that next right here in the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
All right, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. And if you're betting college football bowl games, and that can be a dicey endeavor, we're the podcast for you. We're releasing breakdowns for every matchup with new episodes dropping almost every day. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Surprised he didn't use any cuss words. He got the potty mouth.
I love that.
Jordan has the potty mouth.
I like what he said. I mean, like, at some point, yeah, they both aired it out, and they talked it through, and they said, we're good. It's not the Jalen and AJ show. I mean, it's not only this. They're a big part of it. But, like, it's not just their show. It's a Saquon show. It's a defense show. It's the offensive line show along with the Saquon show. I'm glad he said that.
Yeah, I am too, man. I mean, because it's funny. It's Thursday. I had to check and see which
it
day
is. It is Thursday, yeah.
And we've given this a lot of air. I mean, rightfully so.
But so have they. I mean,
but then, yeah, I'm just saying. I'm not complaining. This is what we do. But it's just like, wow, they got a pretty damn good team coming in here.
Darn right.
Pretty damn good team.
Darn right.
It's a battle for Pennsylvania. We talk about whether or not the quarterback and the receiver cool and who needs to touch the rock more.
Also, this is more for tomorrow. We have to end this streak that's been going on. We can't have Mr. Unlimited beat the Eagles every single time his whole career.
Mr. Unlimited. That was horrible.
How many times are they going to face him again? Maybe one or two more times, depending on where he lands and the schedule. But, like, he's old now.
Well,
this might be the last shot.
He's old now.
Got to beat Russ.
Well, so let me get the, you know, my whole history doesn't matter thing.
Now it does?
Well, no. Oh, I'm okay. Wondering what happens when histories collide. Because the Steelers haven't won in Philadelphia
in a long time
since 1965.
Yeah, yeah.
So which one matters?
Remember that game?
Great. Yeah, I was.
What a game!
Yep, I remember my
awesome.
Call to WIP the next day
with 3 minutes left in the fourth. Yeah. I remember it.
So the what my Lotta just said there, because all this stuff obviously makes you think back to last season and what everyone was saying or not saying. We're saying it anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the person to say? It almost like that in a way felt to me like him taking Jalen's head, taking AJ's head, clunking them together and saying, that's enough. Snap out of it.
It was a very concise way of saying what Brandon said. Like Brandon went on for 20 minutes. Jordan said it in one very simple line. Enough's enough. Like, this is, we got a game on Sunday. We got business to take care of. You know, I liked it. And I also, it felt like maybe we're seeing the next vocal leader of the Eagles. I know he does, you know, the Players Lounge, and he is vocal. He's on with Spike and Jack.
He's tired. He's like, it's like, listen, I just want to play football. And that's how, you know what's funny? That's how most offensive linemen are. We had a chance to talk to Landon this week, and Landon was like, man, listen. Because we asked him about it, because he was there, and he's like, dog, I just want to play football. He said all that other stuff. Going on, I just want to play football.
Well, the other thing is, I like, he didn't say this, but I wonder if deep down he's thinking this, like, hey, myself and meaning my Lotta and the other four linemen, we're blocking for Saquon 30 times a game and winning the game. Meanwhile, we're beefing over you two, or we're distracted with you two, and it's four or five targets a game. Like, those four or five or six or seven plays are making, sucking up all the oxygen around here. I mean, we're doing all the hard work.
Yeah, it's trench, you know, like guys in the trenches. You don't really get off into stuff like that. You know, you hear, like, it's funny because this week, you know, with Brandon, you know, saying what he said and, you know, the love that we have for Brandon, it got me to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
During that time that, because this was like over a couple years, you know, the first year where, you know, it started out that year we went to the Super Bowl with T.O. and Donovan. And I was trying to recall as a defender, where did I see the rift between the two? And I didn't. Only thing I remember is we were all sitting in the training room one time. And, you know, we used to all watch Monday Night Football together. That was the only time that I remember it's offensive and defensive players together. And we would watch the game on Monday nights. And I remember one time we came in the locker room, we were talking about the game that we watched the other night, and T.O. said, y'all ain't allowed in my house no more. And everybody thought he was...
Whoa!
Kyle. And everybody thought he was lying, right? Until that next Monday rolled around, there wasn't no more party. So then...
then you knew something was going on.
Now, then that's when you knew, like, hold on, what happened? And so now, you're asking, like, what happened? And then you start hearing different stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, that's when I knew. But apparently, it was going on way before that. But I just remember being in the room and everybody talking about, yo, man, da-da-da-da. Yeah, yeah. He didn't say it that nice. I cleaned it up. But he said, y'all ain't allowed in my house no more.
So you were missing it. You didn't see it at first.
I didn't see it.
So head in the sand Douglas has been around a long time.
No, I'm not saying my head was in the sand, but it's like, you know, we're at practice and everything. And then all of a sudden it just went, it went south.
Fast.
I was like, damn, when that happened?
All right, quickly, before we go back to the phone lines, I pulled up the box score of the last time. So when was the year the last time the Steelers won?
40. It was 65.
So I pulled up a game from the 60s where the Eagles actually beat the Steelers, 47-13. I was trying to find the right game. But I just wonder what the conversation was like on a hypothetical WIP the next day, like if this sports radio station existed. So the Eagles won 47-13. I pulled up a game from the 60s over the Steelers. Ready for this? They won 47-13. Norm Snead, quarterback that day
Norm
for the Eagles.
Norm Snead.
7 of 21. Passer rating of 29. They ran for 194. You can imagine the calls the next day. Norm Snead can't throw.
Different league back then.
Well, that's true. They praised him as a winner.
Champion. I mean, that sounds like a fun offseason bit. Go back to a box score. It's like guess the takes, but like guess the WIP takes that day.
I'm going to give you guys quickly here before we move on. Guess how many times the Steelers turned the ball over that day. They lost 47-13. They turned the ball over an obscene amount of times.
Oh, wow. Six.
Nope.
I just guessed six.
Oh, you
steal
did?
My guess.
10 times.
12.
Oh.
12. That wasn't even real football. I mean, what were they doing? Turning the ball over 12 times.
12
Come on.
Time. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
That's a conversation on Pittsburgh Sports Talk Radio after that game.
Fire everyone. Fire everyone.
Below. Merge with the Eagles again.
Fire. Just, yeah. The Eagles.
Merge with the real organization.
Yep. All right. Daryl's in Philly. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up,
man?
So my thing is, I think this is on the coaching, because we lean the same way how we lean on the tush-push, we're leaning on the run. We're too dependent upon it. Even though it's working right now, what are we going to say when it stops working? So what the thing is...
Say going tired? We're going to say that.
This is just football. Like... What's the use in paying these guys all this money if you just go get an average quarterback and average receivers and run the ball and spend all the money on guys that's going to continue that? But you got a superstar wide receiver, and nobody's talking about Smith. Like, he's the number one on any other team. Imagine how he feel. He don't hardly ever – he get the ball half as much as Brown.
I'm sure he's not happy about it, but he's just quieter. But yeah, I'm sure he feels like, hey, what's my role? No one's even. You're right. No one's discussing him, and he didn't do much either on Sunday.
So how do we feel when these guys are saying, okay, I'm going to be a team player right now, but when it's time to go, I'm out of here because, you know, I'm not being utilized. I mean, we get incentivized for this. You know, I'm playing for my future. And I'm supposed to sit back and watch somebody else shine.
So, like, yeah, Darryl, I think it's right. An interesting question. Well, I think there's two parts. Darryl, we appreciate the phone call. Hugh, one is, I think that the fact that they already both were paid this past offseason makes it easier, right? If they were,
yeah, they're going to get their bread.
Right. If they were in contract years and we were running this kind of offense,
it would be a whole problem.
Oh, my goodness. You think this is loud? It would be way louder. Second thing is, I don't think this is sustainable for the next 3 or 4 years, though. Like, this isn't this. You do?
No. I was agreeing with you. I was like, not at all.
Like this. There's no way something will give, right? If they decide they want to run this kind of offense for the next 3 or 4 years, I don't think all these guys are here. It just does. It's the allocation of resources doesn't make any sense. Why am I paying $50 million to a quarterback to hand the ball off? Why?
To be honest, it makes no sense now. When you talk about, and I understand. No, the necessity. No, out of necessity.
They've just gone. They've kind of morphed.
They've
into this.
Morphed into this because. You paid, and I'm reckless speculating, but you paid Smitty, and then you gave AJ money to make him happy. Like, you paid Smitty first, then you gave AJ some money to make him happy. So you got two receivers over here that's unprecedented. You paid two big-time receivers, and neither one of them are touching the rock right now. This is just we've morphed into something that probably nobody wanted it to be, in the offseason, but this is what it is to help us win. So, yeah, at some point, it has to come back to the mean. It has to come back to what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I just look like I think Howie would probably look at it down the line and say, wait a second. If we're bottom five in passing yards, I don't need to spend $100 million a year on the quarterback and these two receivers. So I don't know what that would mean in terms of, like, who's not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if the next 2 years they are bottom five in passing yards.
Yeah, that's a whole problem.
Someone's gone. I mean, they're going to reallocate the money and the resources and fix their team. Ross Tucker earlier this week did talk about this with AJ, the idea of, all right, well, they paid him maybe in part to keep him happy even if something like this occurred. Let's listen to Ross Tucker.
The Eagles went out of their way to extend AJ Brown this offseason, even though he had, we can check, he had at least 2 years, maybe 3 years left on his deal. But they gave Devontae the deal, and they knew, you know what? It's not going to sit well with AJ because AJ knows he's better than Devontae or thinks he's better. They did something almost unheard of, right? Like these other teams, Jamar Chase, other receivers, they're not even getting their deals at all. T. Higgins, to me, that was more or less hush money. I don't want to see him doing this year. If the Eagles and Jeffrey Lurie are going to extend him and give him that much money that early on his second gigantic contract from the Eagles, I feel like they bought at least his cooperation and his silence for at least this year.
Well, they didn't, obviously.
My cooperation, somebody.
Yeah, you want hush money?
I want some hush money.
So I just found it because Ross was trying to figure out there in his mind, what did he have 2 or 3 years left in the deal? I just found it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot about this. You know, AJ had 3 years left, and they tacked on three extra.
God is good.
So he was signed this year, 25-26. That's the way his contract looked before this new deal. And then they added 27, 28, 29 onto the.
Woo! Surprised he didn't use any cuss words. He got the potty mouth.
I love that.
Jordan has the potty mouth.
I like what he said. I mean, like, at some point, yeah, they both aired it out, and they talked it through, and they said, we're good. It's not the Jalen and AJ show. I mean, it's not only this. They're a big part of it. But, like, it's not just their show. It's a Saquon show. It's a defense show. It's the offensive line show along with the Saquon show. I'm glad he said that.
Yeah, I am too, man. I mean, because it's funny. It's Thursday. I had to check and see which
it
day
is
it was.
Thursday, yeah.
And we've given this a lot of air. I mean, rightfully so.
But so have they.
I'm just saying. I'm not complaining. This is what we do. But it's just like, wow, they got a pretty damn good team coming in here.
Darn right.
Pretty damn good team.
Darn right.
It's a battle for Pennsylvania. We talk about whether or not the quarterback and the receiver cool and who needs to touch the rock more.
Also, this is more for tomorrow. We have to end this streak that's been going on. We can't have Mr. Unlimited beat the Eagles every single time his whole career.
Mr. Unlimited. That was horrible.
How many times are they going to face him again? Maybe one or two more times, depending on where he lands and the schedule. But, like, he's old now.
Well,
this might be the last shot.
He's old now.
Got to beat Russ.
Well, so let me get the, you know, my whole history doesn't matter thing.
Now it does?
Well, no. Oh, I'm wondering what happens when histories collide. Because the Steelers haven't won in Philadelphia
in a long time
since 1965.
Was 60? Yeah.
So which one matters?
Remember that game?
Great. Yeah, I was.
What a game!
Yep, I remember my call to WIP the next day
with 3 minutes left in the fourth. Yeah. I remember it.
So the what my Lotta just said there, because all this stuff obviously makes you think back to last season and what everyone was saying or not saying, or saying it anonymously.
Mm-hmm.
Where was the person to say? It almost like that in a way felt to me like him taking Jalen's head, taking AJ's head, clunking them together and saying, that's enough. Snap out of it.
It was a very concise way of saying what Brandon said. Like Brandon went on for 20 minutes. Jordan said it in one very simple line. Enough's enough. Like this is, we got a game on Sunday. We got business to take care of. You know, I liked it. And I also, it felt like maybe we're seeing the next vocal leader of the Eagles. I know he does, you know, the Players Lounge, and he is vocal. He's on with Spike and Jack.
He's tired. He's like, it's like, listen, I just want to play football. And that's how, you know what's funny? That's how most offensive linemen are. We had a chance to talk to Landon this week, and Landon was like, man, listen. Because we asked him about it, because he was mm-hmm. there, and he's like, dog, I just want to play football. He said all that other stuff going on, I just want to play football.
Well, the other thing is, I he didn't say this, but I wonder if deep down he's thinking this, like, hey, myself and meaning my Lotta and the other four linemen, we're blocking for Saquon 30 times a game and winning the game. Meanwhile, we're beefing over you two, or we're distracted with you two, and it's four or five targets a game. Like, those four or five or six or seven plays are making sucking up all the oxygen around here. I mean, we're doing all the hard work.
Yeah, it's trench. You know, like, guys in the trenches, that you don't really get – off into stuff like that. You know, you hear, like, it's funny because this week, you know, with Brandon, you know, saying what he said and, you know, the love that we have for Brandon, it got me to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
During that time that, because this was like over a couple years, you know, the first year where, you know, it started out that year we went to the Super Bowl with T.O. and Donovan. And I was trying to recall as a defender, where did I see the rift between the two? And I didn't. Only thing I remember is we were all sitting in the training room one time. And, you know, we used to all watch Monday Night Football together. That was the only time that I remember it's offensive and defensive players together. And we would watch the game on Monday nights. And I remember one time we came in the locker room, we were talking about the game that we watched the other night, and T.O. said, "Y'all ain't allowed in my house no more." And everybody thought he was...
Whoa!
Kyle. And everybody thought he was lying, right? Until that next Monday rolled around, there wasn't no more party. So then,
then you knew something was going on.
Now, then that's when you knew, like, hold on, what happened? And so now you're asking, like, what happened? And then you start hearing different stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that's when I knew. But apparently it was going on way before that. But I just remember being in the room and everybody talking about, "Yo, man, da-da-da-da." Yeah. He didn't say it that nice. I cleaned it up. But he said, "Y'all ain't allowed in my house no more."
So you were missing it. You didn't see it at first.
I didn't see it.
So head in the sand Douglas has been around a long time.
No, I'm not saying my head was in the sand, but it's like, you know, we're at practice and everything. And then all of a sudden it went south. It went south.
Fast.
I was like, damn, when did that happen?
All right, quickly, before we go back to phone lines, I pulled up the box score of the last time. So when was the year the last time the Steelers won?
40? It was 65.
So I pulled up a game from the 60s where the Eagles actually beat the Steelers, 47-13. I was trying to find the right game. But I just wonder what the conversation was like on a hypothetical WIP the next day, like if this sports radio station existed. So the Eagles won 47-13. I pulled up a game from the 60s over the Steelers. Ready for this? They won 47-13. Norm Snead, quarterback that day
Norm
for the Eagles.
Norm Snead.
7 of 21. Passer rating of 29. They ran for 194. You can imagine the calls the next day. Norm Snead can't throw.
Different league back then.
Well, that's true. They praised him as a winner.
Champion. I mean, that sounds like a fun offseason bit. Go back to a box score. It's like guess the takes, but like guess the WIP takes that day.
I'm going to give you guys quickly here before we move on. Guess how many times the Steelers turned the ball over that day. They lost 47-13. They turned the ball over an obscene amount of times.
Oh, wow. Six.
Nope.
I just guessed six.
Oh, you did?
Still my guess.
10 times.
12.
Oh.
12. That wasn't even real football. I mean, what were they doing? Turning the ball over 12 times.
12
Come on.
Time. Yeah, that's crazy.
That's nuts.
What's the conversation on Pittsburgh nowadays? Sports Talk Radio today? Game.
Fire everyone. Fire everyone.
Below. Merge with the Eagles again.
Fire. Just the Eagles.
Merge with the real organization.
Yep. All right. Daryl's in Philly. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
What's up,
man?
So my thing is, I think this is on the coaching because we lean the same way how we lean on the tush-push, we're leaning on the run. We're too dependent upon it. Even though it's working right now, what are we going to say when it stops working? So what the thing is...
It's like going tired. We're going to say that.
This is just football. Like, what's the use in paying these guys all this money?
If you
just go get an average quarterback and average receivers and run the ball and spend all the money on guys that's going to continue that. But you got a superstar wide receiver... And nobody's talking about Smith. Like, he's the number one on any other team. Imagine how he feels. He get the ball half as much as Brown.
I'm sure he's not happy about it, but he's just quieter. But, yeah, I'm sure he feels like, hey, what's my role? No one's discussing him, and he didn't do much either on Sunday.
So how do we feel when these guys are saying, okay, I'm going to be a team player right now? But when it's time to go, I'm out of here because, you know, I'm not being utilized. I mean, we get incentivized for this. You know, I'm playing for my future, and I'm supposed to sit back and watch somebody else shine.
So, like, yeah, Darryl, I think it's right? An interesting question. Well, I think there's two parts. Darryl, we appreciate the phone call. Hugh, one is, I think that the fact that they already both were paid this past offseason makes it easier, right? If they were
they got their bread,
right? If they were in contract years and we were running this kind of offense, this
would be a whole problem.
Oh my goodness, you think this is loud? It would be way louder. Second thing is, I don't think this is sustainable for the next 3 or 4 years, though. Like this isn't this. You do?
No. I was agreeing with you. I was like, No, not at all.
Like this. There's no way. Something will give, right? If they decide they want to run this kind of offense for the next 3 or 4 years, I don't think all these guys are here. It just does. It's the allocation of resources doesn't make any sense. Why am I paying $50 million to a quarterback to hand the ball off?
To be honest, it makes no sense now. When you talk about, and I understand. No, the necessity, out of necessity.
They've just gone, they've kind of morphed
into this. They've morphed into this because you paid, and I'm reckless speculating, but you paid Schmitty, and then you gave AJ money to make him happy. Like, you paid Schmitty first, then you gave AJ some money to make him happy. So you got two receivers over here that's unprecedented. You paid two big-time receivers, and neither one of them are touching the rock right now. This is just we've morphed into something that probably nobody wanted it to be in the offseason, but this is what it is to help us win. So, yeah, at some point, it has to come back to the mean. It has to come back to what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I just look like I think Howie would probably look at it down the line and say, wait a second. If we're bottom five in passing yards, I don't need to spend $100 million a year on the quarterback and these two receivers. So I don't know what that would mean in terms of, like, who's not here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, if the next 2 years they are bottom five in passing yards...
Yeah, that's a whole problem.
Someone's gone. I mean, they're going to reallocate the money and the resources and fix their team. Ross Tucker earlier this week did talk about this with AJ, the idea of, all right, well, they paid him maybe in part to keep him happy even if something like this occurred. Let's listen to Ross Tucker.
The Eagles went out of their way to extend AJ Brown this offseason, even though he had, we can check... He had at least 2 years, maybe 3 years left on his deal. But they gave Devontae the deal, and they knew, you know what? It's not going to sit well with AJ because AJ knows he's better than Devontae or thinks he's better. They did something almost unheard of, right? Like these other teams, Jamar Chase, the other receivers, they're not even getting their deals at all. T. Higgins, to me, that was more or less hush money. I don't want to see him doing this year. If the Eagles and Jeffrey Lurie are going to extend him and give him that much money that early on his second gigantic contract from the Eagles, I feel like they bought at least his cooperation and his silence for at least this year.
Well, they didn't, obviously.
My cooperation, somebody.
Yeah, you want hush money?
I want some hush money.
So I just found it, because Ross was trying to figure out there in his mind, what did he have 2 or 3 years left in the deal? I just found it.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of forgot about this. You know, AJ had 3 years left, and they tacked on three extra?
God is good.
So he was signed this year, 25-26. That's the way his contract looked before this new deal. And then they added 27, 28, 29 onto